When was your last checkup? No, not you. Although that's important, too. But when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Chevy Drive Chicago. Schedule a service appointment at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer.
The Fed left rates unchanged for the third straight meeting. Four Fed members dissented with the Fed's interest rate pause for the first time since 1992. Three Fed members did not support the inclusion of an easing bias in the statement regarding inflation. Fed says the Middle East developments are contributing to high levels of uncertainty.
That's with all of us. That's not just with the Fed. All of us are like a little uncertain.
Well, here's the key, because in previous meetings, the Fed stated that somewhat elevated inflation has been replaced with elevated in reference to inflation. So the Fed appears to be bracing for more inflation. So that is not a good thing. One plus one equals two, right? Higher oil prices. Higher food prices, higher everything prices, costs everything, drives the price up on everything. Brent crude oil today just broke above $120 a barrel for the first time since June of 2022. So, yeah, we got a lot of things going not in the right direction when it comes to interest rates. And this is interesting in a bad way. Yield on the 10-year, on the U.S. 10-year note in September of 2024, which is the bellwether what we follow in the mortgage industry for rates. When the Fed began its most recent rate cutting cycle, the 10-year was at 3.6, which means we had the 30-year somewhere, we were in the fives, which was good. And we were refinancing a lot of people, high fives, low sixes. Yield on the U.S. 10-year today, after 175 basis points in cuts, which means that the Fed has cut the short-term rates 1.75%, the 10-year note is now trading at 4.42. So as the Fed, what does this mean for our listeners? As the Fed starts cutting rates, because everybody's like, oh, the Fed just cut rates, you know.
Yeah, David, give me a refi.
It doesn't work like that. I've been trying to explain for the past 20-some years I've been on the radio. It doesn't work like that. So this is a perfect example, right? These are facts. Facts matter, right? That when the Fed started cutting rates, 1.75%, which is fantastic for our listeners with home equity line of credits, car loans, credit cards, all of those minimum payments came down, which is fantastic for all of our listeners. The challenge is the mortgage rates have gone up. And what's happening? The long-term money, the investors that look at the U.S. to invest in and buy our bonds, don't like what they're seeing right now with inflation. They don't like seeing right now with the current direction of the fiscal policy. And they are telling the market that if you want us to bring money and buy your bonds, you're going to have to give us higher yields. And that's why we're at a higher yield on the 10. I'm trying to simplify this as possible.
Right, right, because it's a lot.
It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of levers. And
ultimately, people just want to know how it affects them.
This is how it's affected them in the past 60 days since the start of the Iran war. The mortgage rates are up a full point. Since we were 60 days ago on a war that we won 45 days ago, the interest rates keep going up because oil that's not coming out, it impacts the entire world economy, not only Europe's economy, our economy as well. So what's happening over there, it does impact us over here. And you could see that with higher gas prices, and you could see that with higher food prices, and everybody's paying more money. We're getting calls from listeners panicked because they are at their wits' end. They can't get their credit cards extended anymore. $40,000 to $80,000, you're not even cracking, you know, AAA right now. We're talking to listeners with $100,000 to $150,000. One couple had over $200,000 with credit card debt and short-term loans to get through. Thank God they had equity in their home that were able to save them close to $6,000 a month using their home's equity in order to pay off all that debt. So our listeners that are middle class or, you know, dual.
Yeah, what is middle class
anymore? I was going to say, it used to be, oh, I'm making 100 grand, I'm rich. Well, no, you're making 100 grand, you're just keeping up with the Joneses. And challenges, the Joneses are broke, okay? Yeah. So if you and your husband are making, or you and your wife are making 75 grand a year or 80 grand a year, you're making 150 to 160, you're thinking you're set. No, you're not set at all, okay? With real estate taxes, as mushuggy as they are, and two cars, and kids going there, and food going here, and $3 to $4 a gallon gas, it goes quick, and nobody's got... you know, $500. I think it was like 66% of the United States doesn't have $500 in their savings account for an emergency, which is pretty
scary.
Pretty scary. And like, oh, the stock market's doing this, the stock market's doing that. I've got people that don't have any money in the stock market. They can give a crap about what's happening in the stock market. They're looking to get to Friday to payday because when payday comes, they're covering everything they spent 2 weeks ago, let alone last week, and they don't have any money to pay going forward.
Right. You're on it, David. That's how everyone is living these days. I mean, not everyone, but a good majority of people who used to identify as middle class or upper middle class are struggling as much as everyone else.
And here's another thing. March PCE inflation, which is the Fed's preferred inflation measure, rises to 3.5%, the highest since August of 2023. Core PCE inflation rises to 3.2, the highest since November of 2023, the first month of the Iran war. So all of the stuff going on over in Iran is impacting us here, no matter what people want to make you see. I saw Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott, on a clip. He's like, you know, gas prices are down. I'm like, what planet?
No, they're not.
I'm like, what planet? I'm like, I'll tell you what, come with me to Costco after I get off, and I'll show you. I'm putting in $5.29.
Yeah.
92 octane.
Average is $4.70 in Chicago right now. The average, if you can find it.
I mean, they're telling people the gas is down. I'm like, where's the gas station? I'll drive to South Carolina. I was just in South Carolina. Gas isn't any cheaper than it is here.
And
it's
I
crazy.
See politicians keep saying that, and I think they must not do their own grocery shopping. They
must
not
know.
Fill up their gas tank. They have no clue.
Read this. Gas prices are down. Okay. Yes, they are. No, they're not. Okay.
I know.
So here, the challenge is, right? All of the news, I'm just reporting what's out there. The inflation is here. It is costing our listeners more money. There's grumbling that the Fed might actually increase rates instead of decrease rate. But we got a new guy coming in, right? Yeah. He hasn't been confirmed yet. Roadblock was lifted by Senator Tillis. All right. We got Fed Chair Powell sticking around as a governor, right? He's hanging out there because he's got a lawsuit, maybe hanging over his head, maybe not, right? We got old Aunt Marge. I call her Drunk Marge, you know, you PRO out there saying that she might come back after him, and he's looking for the safety of the Fed just to hang around so he doesn't have a lawsuit dropping on his head.
Yeah. What,
you know, it's crazy. Everything is screwed up.
Thank you. That in a nutshell. David Hochberg's in studio. If you have a question, 312-981-7200. Someone called in. They want to know exactly what is the rate today?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. A lot of variables go into it, credit scores, loan to value, taking cash out, lowering the rate, buying a home, refinancing a home. But right now, most 30-year fixed loans will start with a 6, and we were 60 days ago heading into the 5s. We're still doing closings with folks that we locked in at 5.89.
Wow.
Yeah, 60 days ago. So those are gone. But we're solidly back into the 6s. Approaching the 7s when we were solidly in the 6s on a nice glide plane into the 5s. So the 10-year was at right now at 4.4. Last time we had a pivot from the Trump administration was during Liberation Day last April when we saw the 10-year note that was in the 3s skyrocket close to 4.5%. And then we had a little shift by the administration because Treasury Secretary Bessent, from all reports, had a conversation about the tariffs. So there were some minor adjustments, and the 10-year bond came down, the bond traders. So, yeah, we've been on a seesaw, and it shouldn't be that way. If we could just get out of our own ways, this economy is ready to roll, and lower rates will help everybody, but we're just up and down like a roller coaster.
I was reading a thing about Costco because someone is suing Costco because Costco is getting a reimbursement on all their tariff fees. And a guy in Chicago said, wait a second.
Where's mine?
You admitted you raised the prices because of the tariffs. If you're getting a refund, we should get a refund. Yeah. So he's starting a class action lawsuit, and I think it's probably going to have some legs.
Yeah, and it comes down to all of that nonsense that the foreign countries pay the tariffs, and the people that are listening to the station right now are the ones that paid the tariffs, and the companies are getting a reprieve on all of those tariffs, and the people that are left holding the bag are everybody listening to the station right now that paid higher prices and are getting no reprieve and getting no refund. So that's the yin and the yang. And it's always, you know, when they said tariffs and they said that the countries that are shipping the products will pay it, I was on the station saying that's a bunch of crap.
I know, and you would still have people fight you on it.
I'd still have people fight
me. It's like, no, this is how it works.
No, this is how it works. Yeah, you know, yeah. I had a guy who, and I told the story, imported chocolates from Germany and wines from, you know, from Europe. And then one guy's like, yeah, you know, tell him to, you know, do things to himself. I'm like, well, that's real cool. Okay, here's a guy who's been in business 20 years.
Yeah.
He's got a successful import business. He's provided for his family. He's provided for his 20, 30 employees. He owns buildings. He's got a beautiful home. And then whammo, you know, this company's like, well, you should have planned ahead of time. I'm like, you should make his products here. Well, let's see. You can't make German chocolate in Hegwisch, okay? Yeah. You know, nothing gets people in Hegwisch, okay? You can't make European wine in Whiting, Indiana, right? Yeah. You know, there are certain things. So those people got crushed. I hope the guy that got absolutely destroyed, who had a plant in the northwest suburbs, call me. I couldn't help him because his credit was blown up. I hope he gets that refund and can rebuild his credit and start paying for things again, because he got absolutely decimated over the past 12 months.
They said importers in the U.S. paid $166 billion on more than 53 million shipments as of March 4th.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
I had a guy who imported stuff from China. The reason he imported stuff from China is because he couldn't get any of that manufactured in the United States. Mm-hmm. So he had to go to China to get it. So when he went to go get his container from the products that he's been purchasing from China for the past 15 years, because again, the product wasn't made in the United States. And yes, we might be able to start up plants to make it, but he still needed to service his current clients.
Yeah.
And there was nobody making the product. He had to pay $35,000 for every single container before they would let it off of the dock. Okay, write a check from his company. Yeah. I just saw him 2 weeks ago. I ran into him out in Northbrook. I'm like, hey, you're the guy with the containers of 35 grand that called me. So I'm like, where are you at with your refund? He's like, it's being processed. I'm like, great. I hope you get your money back. Here's the challenge, right? All of that money that we collected that was supposed to go to something is no longer there to go to what they had it budgeted for, because it's now going back to all the companies and the consumer's getting screwed.
And the process of giving the money back, just like the process of collecting it, is a colossal waste of money.
Yes.
And we were just talking about this with the SNAP program with Northern Illinois Food Bank. I said, well, where is all that money going to go that they're going to save from not delivering SNAP? Who knows? I don't think
it's an absolute travesty. Can I just give an example of somebody I talked to driving down this morning?
Yeah.
Truck driver, owns a piece of property in Wisconsin. Him and his wife want to build on the piece of property. Him and his wife went up there, cleared the land, have got everything ready, spent money, you know, cutting down, clearing, you know, driveways, the whole thing. He has one of his nephews has a plumbing company. He's a carpenter, in addition to being a truck driver, very handy. And his other nephew is a electrician. So he's got an electrician, he's got the plumbing, and he does the carpentry, he's got friends. He wanted to build a house, and he wanted a construction loan. Very difficult to get a construction loan when you're your own GC. Okay? Construction lenders don't like that. Okay? Pivot over here. He has a home in the northwest suburbs worth $470,000. He only owed $70,000 on his mortgage. So I'm just like, hey, game on.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is he has a $45,000. He's got a $90,000 HELOC with a $45,000 balance, and his credit cards are all maxed out, which is compressing his credit scores. So I'm like, all right, here's what we're going to do. He's been up since 2 o'clock. I'm talking to him at 6:30 driving in this morning on the Edens. And I got to send him an email when I get home so he could digest this. We're going to pull out 45 grand from his existing HELOC, pay off the $45,000 worth of credit card debt. That's costing him about $2,000 a month. Okay. The 45 grand on the HELOC is going to cost him about $400 a month.
Ah.
So he's going to save $1,600 right away. His credit scores are going to shoot up. We're going to wait 30 days until his credit scores get recalibrated. His HELOC right now is at 10%. We're going to introduce him to our Consumers Credit Union team. That's going to get him a bigger HELOC to pay off his existing HELOC and gain access to another $230,000+.
Then he's got his building money.
While he's saving $1,600 a month, and he's got his building, and he's his own construction loan.
Right.
And then when he's done in Wisconsin, we now do a cash out refinance in Wisconsin to pay off his home here in Illinois, and he's got the mortgage in Wisconsin. So a lot of moving pieces when you're trying to structure a deal. And this guy is a truck driver. He hears me all the time on the radio, calls me up. He's like, this is what I got. And I'm just like, hey, I can't get you a construction loan when you're the GC, but we've got all this equity. Let's pivot over here and just use the monetary, the assets available, the liquidity against your current home. So
that's the type of stuff you do. And I don't think people fully understand that. I think they just go, oh, I need a mortgage. I go see David.
Numbers.
No, right. he's creative in how to get you what you want out of life.
Well, it's not so much that. I'm just trying to put our listeners to help them solve their financial challenges and connect the dots. Okay. I can't drive a truck. You don't want me driving a truck. You don't want me backing in a fully loaded semi in a loading
dock.
And
I don't want you making me late to news.
So. I understand. All right. I understand.
So wrap it.
All right, here. This weekend, Next Door and Window, Rose Pest Solutions, Erdman Outdoor Living is coming on, Megapros Jeremy, Megapros Home Improvement, number one rated show Saturdays from 10 to 1 here on WGN.